It is time for Arts Live and Local, and we're going to hear a little music, and then my first guests, and if you happen to have a Coast weekend there, you can open it to the centerfold and see pictures of my first guests. Let's have a little bit of their music first, and thanks for being here. The show is dedicated, could you guess, to Cuba, but we're going to hold that Cuban music. Here we go from the North Coast Symphonic Band. That was from Cuba. Here comes the North Coast Symphonic Band. I'm sure most of you recognize the music, and you have a chance to hear this and much more, and I'm calling it an extravaganza. It's the North Coast Symphonic Band and a ton of other people, and here to tell us about it. This is happening tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the Liberty Theater. And it is brought to you by the Liberty Theater and North Coast Symphonic Band. So here to tell you about it is the conductor and director of the band. That's Dave Becker. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Carol.
And also one of the soloists, Jenny Butenshin. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Carol.
Good to have you here.
Pleased to be here.
Yeah. So why am I calling it an extravaganza? It's called A North Coast Christmas. What did you do? Try to get as many choral groups and singers as possible?
Well, yes. the North Coast Band has been doing a Christmas concert or a holiday concert the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we've combined forces with the North Coast Chorale on those two. And when Rosemary at the Liberty talked to us about doing something together, it just made sense to have more singers is really what I was after. And I've been wanting to do something to collaborate with the Cannon Beach Chorus and Dr. John Bueller. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about that. He lives down in Cannon Beach. We've gotten to be friends. And so it all just kind of came together, and we've got lots of people involved. And
yeah, I was going to say, that's not all, though.
That's not all, no.
Astoria High School, is that
right?
Right,
yeah.
Singers?
Astoria High School Port Singers with Matt Pierce conducting, and then, of course, the Butenshins will be our vocal soloists. And we've also got two small groups out of the North Coast Band, the Astoria Tuba Quartet.
Oh.
So if you're into heavy metal, this would be the concert for you. And, no, they're great.
They are.
And then the Northern Lights Flute Ensemble, which is a flute quartet that our best flutists have put together, and they play around town,
the
too.
The Northern Lights Flute
right.
Quartet?
Yes.
Or,
yeah.
How long has that been around? I've never heard that.
I'm not sure.
I
mean, it's Janet Bowler and some of the other flutists, and they've Loring, yeah, of course. And they've been playing together in, I think, different configurations.
Right.
Sometimes it's a duo or a trio or a flute choir, but they had a lot of music, and they were enthusiastic about playing. So.
Wonderful.
So it'll give the audience a nice break from the big things mm-hmm. we're doing to have these smaller pieces. And then we've also got not singing, but processing. We've got the Lucia Court and Lucia Bride Megan Davis and her court will be on hand and dressed for the occasion. And then we've got a very jolly, rotund man with a white beard that we think is going to come in, too. And he may do some singing, too.
Oh, if we're good.
So we're
Let's see. Did we have to guess who that might be?
Well, you probably could.
I think I have a feeling I know. Yeah. One of those round people that sings so well. Yes. Okay, so again, this is happening tomorrow on North Coast Christmas. Now, Jenny, what are you doing? You and your husband are both.
Mm-hmm.
Keith and Jenny.
Keith and I are singing a few numbers, just some fun things. We're doing, should I tell them? Is it okay?
Sure.
Yeah,
it's not a secret. Baby, It's Cold Outside, and then A White Christmas, mm-hmm. and then a nice medley of snow Christmas songs. So just some fun, familiar tunes. It's just the whole program is a great variety.
That's what, when I started reading about this, I thought, holy cow. Now, how long is this concert going to be? 4 hours, did you say?
With the intermission. No, it'll be a little over 2 hours.
But, okay.
Including the intermission, about 2.5 hours. But it's a lot of moving parts, mm-hmm. but we've got it tightened up to where there'll be very little downtime and lots of music. And that's, you know, not talking, not explaining, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. just lots and lots of music. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that, you know, everybody will hear their favorite tune out of the 20, I think we're doing about 30 pieces on this, 30 tunes or
oh
so.
My.
So
you'll hear your favorite.
You know, there lots are short and lots are in medleys too. So,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But hopefully your favorite will be in there. It's a great mix of sacred and secular. Mm-hmm. We've got a Hanukkah piece. We've got a Kwanzaa piece. And really everything will be familiar, but maybe in a non-familiar setting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the tunes have different treatments than people will have heard. But
where do you get most of your arrangements?
Well, from the band side, there's mm-hmm. lots and lots of medleys out there and, you know, interesting arrangements and things. And there's, you know, arrangers like to do them because they're mm-hmm. working with good tunes that people know.
So when you have the North Coast Chorale or the Cannon Beach Chorus, and does the... Do the Port City Singers sing with the band? Or
they're just
acapella?
Going to sing by themselves, yeah.
They've got
their own rhythm section. And
okay.
So we didn't have any real vocal jazz represented.
Mm-hmm.
And
lovely.
Except Baby It's Cold Outside a little bit. But so they're doing some jazz selections.
And they're wonderful, Port City
Singers. They're excited about it.
Okay, so but you are going to be playing with North Coast Chorale and Cannon Beach Chorus, is that right?
Right, but they're also performing alone. So that's where the variety comes in. It's not just going to be, I can't stress this enough for our audience out there, it's not just a band concert with singers. It's really more singing than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
There's 18 vocal selections and 8 that are solely instrumental. So, but we are accompanying some of the singers. So
mm-hmm.
the Butensians, we're going to play accompaniments under their 3 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then the North Coast Chorale and the Cannon Beach Chorus will perform some selections on their own. And then at the end, we have the grand finale, which is the real extravaganza. And we're going to do with about 70 to 80 singers, we think, with the band.
On that stage?
In front of the stage. They're in front and on the stage.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And the older audience will know that. That's the one that Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians made famous back in the 40s and 50s. And it's really fun.
Is there a narrator for that? Or
they sing the text.
Okay.
The text is – but it's a really beautiful setting. I worked with the North Coast Chorale Tuesday night just mm-hmm. to do a rehearsal on it. And there were a couple people in the chorale that were new to the chorale that hadn't ever heard it, and we got done, and they said, "Well, that's beautiful. That's a great setting." And they didn't know
right,
it, but they were younger
right,
too.
Right, right.
So we're doing that.
Well, we're hoping that a lot of young people come, whether with their families or on their own, because it is. That's why when I read all of these, I did I labeled it an extravaganza. I think it's wonderful when the we have so much music in this area, right? We have so many fine musicians.
A lot of talent.
And it's wonderful when people come together and switch off and learn each other's pieces and work together, so especially. But the tuba quartet, now are they on their own?
Yeah, they're on their own.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to do some fun things. One of the pieces is "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch."
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you've got that at one end of the spectrum, played by tubas, and then you've got the Hallelujah Chorus with everyone singing and the band playing. And we'll end with a big sing-along.
Oh, good.
With familiar Christmas carols, real traditional, you know, a real traditional ending for the concert.
Well, I was going to ask you, since you have these different arrangements, because since so many people do know Christmas music, how you feel about people singing along, not when you're doing your solo, because that's a different story, but when the when one of the chorales or choruses singing. But you're going to give everybody a chance at the end.
At the end, yeah. But they can. I mean, the Hallelujah Chorus, they're welcome to join in, too, if they want to on that. Or, you know, if they're singing along in their heads, hopefully, or humming along. Or I mean,
at least I'm sure they'll be tapping their feet.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And if they can carry a tune well, then it's okay. It's the ones, you know, some of the guy in front is going like, excuse me. So, this is a wonderful opportunity to be able to present this together with the Liberty. And Jenny, I'm wondering, when you and Keith do this solo material, is this material that you know and have done before, and you said these are the pieces we'd like to do? Or
well, actually, you know, we collaborated. We chatted about what would be good. We mentioned a few that we were familiar with. It's funny, we've actually not done Baby, It's Cold Outside before. So this is a new one for us, which is, of course, we're familiar with it.
Yeah.
But it's fun to actually be able to do it.
Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah, we've done, you know, in years past, we annually did a number of Christmas concerts many years ago. So
with various and sundry or on your own or what?
Well, it was with us and years ago, Chris Holmstead and other instrumentalists and singers and players. So it's fun to come back and do Christmas again.
Well, I just, when I saw Jenny, I mentioned that I think the first time I saw her, and certainly the first time I ever saw this production, was Amahl and the Night Visitors. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it was how many years ago?
It was probably about 16.
Yeah. Because your son
16,
is a
17 years
grown
ago.
Up man now.
Yeah, he was about 10, so it was at least 15, 16 years ago.
Well, not their version, but a version of Amahl and the Night Visitors will be broadcast on KMUN Monday at 7 a.m. for you early risers, and on Tuesday for you also early risers, but not quite as early, on KCPB at 8 a.m. So we do get do like to get the good music out here.
That's a wonderful tradition.
Yeah, it is. What else do we want to know about this fabulous concert, Dave?
Well, I think part of the idea behind this and the reason it's on this day, on Saturday, and in the late afternoon is that people are finishing up, hopefully, their Christmas shopping. Saturday is kind of the last big day for that. And maybe they're a little frazzled and they've had, you know, and they've been shopping all day and getting ready, making preparations. And about mid-afternoon, they're going to run out of gas to be doing that type of thing. And they'd like to just come inside and sit in the beautiful theater in the Liberty and just hear some great music and just enjoy for a couple hours before they go home and go about the rest of their preparations for Christmas.
It is an interesting time because in this area, we usually do our matinees on Sundays. So we need to remember this is tomorrow, Saturday at 4 p.m. at the Liberty, which is 12th and Commercial. And you can call them. I'm sure there should be somebody at the box office right now. That's 325-5922, extension 55. But there'll probably be tickets at the door because it seats 655. Mm-hmm. So you can join in. But that sounds like a great idea. As far as shopping, I hope that all of you will take advantage of all the wonderful, we just said, fabulous musicians. We also have fabulous artists here and wonderful local businesses. And do that. Do that. If you want to buy presents or if you want to make a donation in someone's name, do it in, for one of the nonprofits. Oh, there's one right here, Coast Community Radio. So is the Liberty, the North Coast Symphonic Band, all of these groups, the North Coast Chorale, all nonprofits who would love support. But stay local, because the concert idea is lovely, to just bring people together and give a lot of joy. I think that's what it'll do.
We hope so.
I'm
the
sure.
Whole community.
Again, we have the North Coast Symphonic Band. We have the North Coast Chorale, Cannon Beach Chorus, Astoria High School Port City Singers, Keith and Jenny Butenchen as the soloists, the Tuba Quartet, the Northern Lights Flute Quartet, the Lucia Court, and some big guy in red.
Yes.
Maybe. Okay.
Jolly.
Jolly. Oh, jolly. Jolly. Whatever that means to you. So a North Coast Christmas tomorrow, 4 p.m. at the Liberty Theater. Thank you so much, Dave Becker and Jenny Butenchen.
Thanks for having
us.
And thanks, Carol.
I won't tell you to break your legs. That's only for theater people. So
I
don't know what
to.
We say to music folks.
Toy, 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 I think, right?
Oh, is that right? There you go. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Have a great show. And again, that's tomorrow. Now, the rest of my guests, believe it or not, are all happening tonight. So folks, just get ready, because there is so much going on around here, even though it seems to be less than usual. So first, I just want to play you a little bit of music. And here comes our music from Cuba. And we want to give a big felicidades to the United States and Cuba for making a really good decision. And finally, well, I should say I want to do that, because I'm a strong believer, having visited in Cuba, that this is only going to be for good for all the people. Here we go.
Para bailar, para gozar, para ti yo tengo mi cha-cha-cha.
De mi Cuba es el ritmo tropical, que en el mundo todos quieren bailar. Porque tiene ese rítmico compás.
Si quieres gozar, baile cha-cha-cha. Pa' bailar, pa' gozar, para ti yo tengo mi cha-cha-cha.
Cuando se oye melódico el violín, de la flauta su dulce inspiración, palpitante en su ritmo el corazón.
Es mi cha-cha-cha, solo para ti. Pa' bailar, pa' gozar, para ti yo tengo mi cha-cha-cha. Pa' bailar, pa' gozar, para ti yo tengo mi cha-cha-cha.
Si se pueda. You wait long enough, Well, we weren't sitting around waiting, were we now? There were a lot of people working on behalf of this happening. So I'm really, really glad that things are going to, quote, normalize. I hope they normalize in a good way. So many times we normalize and guns come out, but I think it's going to be great. And those of you who haven't been to Cuba, you're in for a delightful time. So, and we're in for a delightful time right here. I warned you, this is the first of tonight's happening. I don't know whether they even know. My two other guests are also happening tonight. But you're the only ones in Manzanita. So. And this is, I have Polly Buckingham from Stringtown. Well, it's called Stringtown Reading. She's the founder and editor of Stringtown and Stringtown Press. And she also is a former programmer at KMUN. Hi, Polly.
Hi, Carol.
Always good to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here and with some of my favorite people.
There you go. I like that. Okay, and then I have our local, and that would, who was just on the radio, as she mentioned, and that would be Karen Temple. Hi, Karen.
Hello, hello.
And this time she's here because she is one of those Stringtown readers, as in Stringtown writers. And I'm going to let them tell you all about it, but my third guest is Steve Cleveland. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Carol.
I don't even know, where do you live now?
Portland.
You're in Portland, but Steve Cleveland is also a former programmer. Karen, did you get on the air for a short time? Weren't you doing
with
opera?
Jim Dodd.
Oh, with Jim Dodd,
yeah,
on the poetry.
Yeah, the poetry. You should remember. I was do. Part of
I
your
broadcast
show.
It. Yeah. Right. I was thinking you were going
no,
to.
No, I never
no.
did opera.
Okay, the opera. That was close. So we. This is a very rich reunion here.
Yes.
That's just delightful. They are going to be reading at Cloud and Leaf Books in Manzanita, and it begins at 6 p.m. tonight. So I've got them here for a little bit to tell you what all this is about. What is Stringtown? What's the whole idea of Stringtown? Because it's gone in lots of directions.
Yeah, Stringtown started while I was still living here. I came up with the concept of it and actually had the first reading of Stringtown when the first issue came out in 1998. At Parnassus Books when it was still around.
Uh-huh.
It was, I think, the last year of Parnassus and the first year of Stringtown.
Wow.
And it was named after the Stringtown Road across the river where fishermen used to make their nets.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a nice metaphor for literature and for a journal. So I've been publishing for, the journal's been going for, since 1998, and it's an annual. And then we started publishing books, actually with Karen's Child of War, and
poetry.
We also published her poetry book, Peregrina. And then our most recent poetry title is Steve Cleveland's The Gold That Falls Onto the Table.
Oh,
and so these are not only two contributors to Stringtown, not only two KMUN people, two historians, but also two of the very small handful of authors Stringtown has published.
Very exciting.
So, and it's all, you know, primarily Northwest authors. I've taken the journal with me from Astoria to Seattle, to I'm in Spokane now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm operating.
Yeah, we keep thinking you're coming back, and you keep extending your eastern climbs there. I'm not quite sure what that's about, but I do want to mention.
It's hard.
I wondered what Steve Cleveland was doing, because I know him as a musician. Aren't you a piano?
Yeah, I play piano. I play accordion nowadays, too, in Portland. There's a lot of gypsy jazz going on in Portland, so I'm trying to get in on that as much as I can, and that's really fun. I don't have to lug an amp around usually. Usually just play in small places, take my accordion out, and ready to go.
So when did you start, or have you always been writing as well?
Yes, I have been. Yeah, just kept at it, and Polly's been very encouraging, and so.
Is this your first?
This is my first book, yes.
Wow, that's wonderful. Congratulations
Thank
to you,
you
Steve.
Thank
and
you.
Congratulations to you, Polly, for birthing this, because I do feel, I don't know, but I know with the Fisher Poets, for example, many of them say, I never even dreamed of writing poetry, but then I heard about this gathering, and I thought, well, let me try it, kind of thing. So, very exciting. Karen, on the other hand, has been writing and writing.
Yeah, but not forever either. Polly and I actually have a history of reviving Rain after sort of a lengthy hiatus. And Polly taught me a lot about editing in those days. And when I was still teaching, I didn't write. I always thought my role was to get, you know, people to understand poetry, other people's poetry. And then one day I started writing.
Is that right? I didn't realize that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting that you were gleaning from other poetry and teaching other people how to appreciate it, but you hadn't written your own, and then and then it came to you. Polly, where did you get the background that Karen just credited you with as helping her learn how to edit and stuff? Did you study that in school?
Doug Sweet taught me that.
For heaven's sake.
Okay. This is a bit of an in party.
Blast from the past. So
let me explain. When I first moved to Astoria in 1992, one of the first jobs I got was doing the layout and design for the KMUN newsletter. And we used PageMaker in its very early days. And so the station manager at the time taught me PageMaker. I got in trouble with him because on my first design, I filled it up with gazillions of fish. And the night before it went to print, he removed half of the fish.
Of all the
without
night.
Telling me.
Oh, unacceptable.
Now I teach students design, and I work with students.
And you put
students.
The fish back in.
No, now I'm doing the same thing he did to me.
There you go. Isn't that wonderful? So there's a real legacy here. My goodness. Mm-hmm. So you're here at Cloud and Leaf in Manzanita. Are you staying on the coast for a while, and then you set this up, or did you?
I wish.
Come. Oh
no, I set it up from Spokane and came. Okay. But we have, we actually have seven readers tonight.
Seven readers.
Yeah, and some, you know, pretty wonderful people. Jan Pretty, who writes poetry and fiction and lives, I think, in Arch Cape. Matthew Shoemaker, who lives in Portland, he has two books of poetry out, and he's kind of a surrealist poet, and is part of the literary journal Phantom Drift. And Carolyn Allen, who's also in Seattle and writes fiction and nonfiction.
Is Jim Dott reading
and
with
Jim
you
Dott.
Too?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yet another
poet,
local historian, KMUN programming, etc.
Poet.
Poet. and former Brownsmead liver. Is everybody choosing whatever he or she wants to read? Is that how
they've all been in Stringtown at one time or another, but it's sort of a reunion Stringtown reading, and we've done, this is the second of three for the year. The magazine was not in production for a couple years, and so this year has been kind of a revival year, and I've been kicking that off by doing these big readings. So we have one in Spokane, we had one in Seattle, and we have this one in Manzanita.
So what do? You put the word out that you've got the magazine or you've got it online, and people solicit from you and say, I've got some stuff I want to publish? Or
they submit. We have a website. The submission period is year-round. Right now, we're still taking submissions by mail, but we're about to switch over to an online system so that people have the option of doing either. And, you know, it's something you should offer authors.
But you'll keep both.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because there is one person in this room who doesn't even have a computer. We're not mentioning any names.
No, we're not.
Okay, so are all of your artists from the Northwest, though, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. What I try with the magazine is to have at least 75% of the content is Northwest. And the books are all Northwest authors.
Okay.
Have not strayed out of the Northwest.
So I guess what I'm getting at is, if someone listening right now is somewhere else and was interested in, number one, submitting, number two, just looking and seeing what this is, perhaps getting a hold of one of the magazines, what do they do?
Yeah. The first thing to do is visit our website. It's really easy. It's just stringtownpress.com.
Okay.
And if you type it into Google, it'll pop right up. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty simple. And that'll give you the submission information. You can pick up a copy of the magazine at the Manzanita store, and I need to get it in the stores here. But
well, I was wondering,
it's in a handful of
why
bookstores.
You're not doing a reading in a story, but we'll talk about that afterwards.
It's kind of a random,
because even though Manzanita's close, as you'll see, my two other guests are both concerts tonight. Fortunately, one's a little earlier than the other.
Right.
So it's probably a good thing you're not doing a reading here tonight.
But right, right.
In the future, it would be lovely to have.
And we've done them here. I think my thought was just let's branch out. Let's,
sure, you know. Sure. And there are.
And boy, what a lovely bookstore that is, that Cloud and Leaf store.
Absolutely.
They just got a big grant from James Patterson. He was giving grants to independent bookstores, and they got one, and I think there might be some celebrating going on there tonight in addition to the String Down readings.
Folks. Yeah. So this is right in Manzanita. The reading is 6 to 8, but you heard Polly say there might be celebrating as well. Mm-hmm. Steve, can you tell us a little bit about what your poetry is about, or
what is it about?
In other words, is there a theme to the book, or is it random?
Recite something.
Well, can you recite?
Oh, sure.
Please, yes.
Yeah, that'd probably be just as good.
Sure. Better.
Here's a little poem called Laramie. The road is slick and thick with frost. I eat my toast and apricots. By the window, watch the birds bicker and poke their beaks into the grass. The last bus from Laramie left at 4. In an hour, I'll still be here sitting in the sun.
Nice. Ooh. I'm there. I've never been there before, but I'm there now. Thank you. That's Steve Cleveland.
Thank you.
And he will be one of the Stringtown readers or writers. Have you published in the magazine as well?
I've published a lot in Stringtown and in several other magazines, but I haven't been actively trying to publish a lot over the years.
He was in Early Rain.
And I was in Rain, that's right. I was in a couple of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Karen, when were you editing Rain magazine?
94?
Yeah, 93 and 94,
yeah,
I think.
I did it maybe 3-4 years, something like that, without you eventually, because you moved on,
Is that how long ago you left?
Mm-hmm. I was here from 92 to 95. I kept coming back.
I'm going to say, it feels like really you were lost just here. Yeah. No, that's for sure. And what are we going to hear from you tonight?
Well, one of my poems is in this magazine, in this issue, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read it. And then I have a few new ones that I wrote since I've moved to my current location here in Astoria in an apartment, and sort of foreshadows some thoughts about aging and death, age appropriate for somebody like me. And a friend in Germany calls them end time poems, and I have 3 of them. I don't know if I'll have time for all 3.
I'm looking out the window because Karen is not much older than I am. Just want you all to know that, since you know I celebrated my 70th, she's right in there and she's talking about end time. Okay, well, whatever you write, it's always wonderful. And I know you're a wonderful reader as well. Polly, are you going to be doing some reading, or are you just?
I am.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Not just running the show.
No. Should I read something?
Sure. Yeah. Short. Something short.
I have something very short.
Good.
And this, I have to get to it. It's called Recalibration. The repairman arrives at night to fix the telephone wires fried by lightning. He unscrews a metal box encasing a joint, and a tangle of colored wires spills out, like a half-remembered dream. It works, he says, but it will never be the same. I stand in the road and watch him drive into the gray dawn, his palm held open out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And you're young. See, she's writing in.
I'm pushing 50.
That's young, see?
Yeah, really.
Well, it's going to be quite a variety. You're going to have people reading and then going back, and there'll be time for questions.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a little wine, and we'll probably have a nice little intermission, 3 readers, intermission, 4 readers, something
great.
Like that.
Great. Sounds like a party.
Yeah.
Definitely a party. Cloud and Leaf Bookstore in Manzanita. I'm sure it's on Lanita because everything is on Lanita in Manzanita, so you can't miss it.
That's about right.
Between 6 and 8 p.m. tonight. Stringtown readings. And again, if you want to, if you're not right here or you can't get there tonight, you can check out stringtownpress.com and get in touch with Polly if you have something you think might be good for the magazine. Yeah. Great. Okay, well, thank you all for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Delightful time this evening. It sounds like a great party. Okay.
Thanks so much.
And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. And time right now. Tonight is the fourth night of Hanukkah. You may remember that the nights precede the days in the lunar calendar. So we light four candles. It is also the winter solstice coming up this Saturday. So here is a piece called Hanukkah Solstice by Linda Hirshhorn.
Turning, turning, spirits yearning, reaching for the night. Colors going, shadows growing, darkening the light. Ancient story told, renewed with the cold. Mystery of light, burnt into the night. Turning, turning, spirits yearning, speeches yearning, spirits yearning, colors going, shadows going, stars going, shadows going, shadows going, ancient stars.
That's Linda Hirshhorn with Hanukkah Solstice. And it is the shortest day, the longest night. The reason that Hanukkah is also the 25th of the month, by the way. But it's the month of Kislev, which is the Jewish month and Jewish calendar, which is a lunar one. And that means it's the end of the moon cycle. So it is absolutely 100% guaranteed dark. And then you match it up with the solstice by doing some interesting mathematical things, which they do. And you come out with the longest, darkest night, because sometimes the longest night, the solstice, is full moon, whereas this way you're for sure going to get a dark night. We've got it, but by golly, we are lighting it up big time. And the first of the concerts, I told you, they're both tonight. One is earlier, and the other is a little bit later, so you can get to both. And I'm going to start with the later one, and that is with Sophie Klein, who is going to tell us about Songs for Heart and Soul. Wait, is that the thing you play on the piano? Heart and soul, again, da-da-da-da. Okay, but that's not what you're doing,
not
probably.
Quite.
Not quite.
Not this time.
Okay. Okay. So, Sophie, I understand there will be a whole, let's see, four singers and a dancer. Is that correct? You've got...
Yeah, so we have belly dancing by Jessamine Grace.
Yes.
And Dinah and myself, our friend Martin, are all going to be singing different songs, kind of original arrangements, actually, that
Individual or together?
Songs.
Okay.
Well, we have a few group songs, yeah, Dinah created some really interesting arrangements for some Christmas classics.
Sweet, yeah.
And we're also doing some just winter songs. Mm-hmm. And then we have some guest instrumentalists. Tim Root is on the harmonica.
Okay.
Brian Rock is going to be doing some bass and some drums.
Oh, okay. I didn't know who that was. Brian Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. And Tim Root are a musician. So,
yes.
Okay.
And then Dinah on piano for a lot of the numbers.
Didn't you play piano for something last
time? Yes. That was Three Voices back in August. And it's similar in this round robin sense. We're going to be kind of all taking turns doing
that
songs.
That's delightful. I like that a lot. So what we're talking about is happening at Gala tonight at 7:30. The doors open. When does the concert start?
Around 8, just okay. About 8, yeah.
Okay, so it's a 8 o'clock concert. Doors open at 7:30, and that would be Dinah Urell, the proprietor and Hipfish editor, publisher, and all other things. Sophie Klein, my guest. Martin Buell, and those are the three singers. And then Jessamine Grace, who is a beautiful dancer, who with... She'll be dancing to what, Tim and Brian?
Oh, she's actually going to be dancing, I believe, to some Turkish
pop. She has her own.
Yeah, some Turkish music.
Bringing her own recording.
Quite stunning, yes. Ooh. I got to see some of it last
nice.
Night. And so, yeah, it's kind of like a pop-up cabaret. It's a sweet little show. It really is. It's come together really nicely, all this different kind of things going on. And
that's
a portion
great.
Of our benefits are going to the Sammy's Place, the intentional living community for developmentally disabled adults.
Okay. And that is going to be where? Where is Sammy's Place?
I believe it's somewhere south. Like, I want to say, like, Manzanita area, somewhere down there. I'm not 100% sure exactly.
So it isn't,
but
it doesn't exist yet. They're putting it together.
Yeah,
is that right?
It's still in the incubation.
Right. Okay.
But that's the plan.
Okay.
Yeah, and a representative, I believe Kathy is her name, will be there to kind of say some words about that. So,
good. Because that's wonderful to be able to learn about that. And for the music, the songs for the heart, for heart and soul, there's no the in there, but it is for the heart and the soul at Gala tonight. That's 1017
yes.
Marine Drive, between 10th and 11th on Marine Drive in Astoria. And it's going to be very lovely. And before that, is there something else that we should absolutely know about this? Now, will there be, it's usually a no-host bar.
Yeah, there's no host bar. And and we're going to be having a Finnish dessert bar afterwards, after the show.
Oh, my. So Dinah's at it
we've
again.
We've got some rice pudding and other various Finnish delights. Yes.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Yes.
That was very popular last time. Okay, well, this is wonderful. Tonight, okay, folks, that's your second concert of the night. I'm going to let Sophie go.
All right. Thanks, Carol.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. And Sophie, by the way, who used to live here and still keeps coming to visit us, thank goodness, unlike some people who go away and don't come back very often, she is in Ashland now. Is that right? Yeah. Going to school. And she is to be seen on the stage. She's a force to be reckoned with. Or not to be reckoned with. What's the phrase? I can't remember. Anyway, she's good. Thanks, Sophie. Okay, and now I have the other concert, which actually precedes Songs for Heart and Soul. This is the Consort of All Sorts. I think that is my favorite name of a band or a orchestra or whatever they are, a collection of musicians. I'm not quite sure what they are, but they make wonderful music. They're all top-of-the-line musicians, some professional as well, and singer, and except they do touch the mic when they haven't asked permission, but we'll give them dispensation this time. And actually, I'll put on a little bit of the music right now, see if that's going to work. Oh, sounds great. Thank you. Well, that is the Consort of All Sorts, and they are here, or I should say, who's here? Charlie Schweigert and Drew Herzig are here to tell us what this concert's going to be about. But you just heard some of the beautiful music they play, Baroque holiday music. They are an early music ensemble with a lot of instrumental and vocal, 17th and 18th centuries. And this is happening at the library. It is the Astoria Library and Astoria Library Friends Association are presenting. This is something they've been doing on a regular basis, presenting arts concerts free. And it's a fantastic venue, and they've been bringing in great acts. You heard from someone else last week. So welcome, Charlie and Drew. Great to have
you
here. That was beautiful. What did we just hear?
That was one of the Noels from Michel de Lalande. He wrote a number. They were based on French folk carols called Noels. And that one was Joseph et Bien Marié. And it says about how Joseph has married a girl from Judea.
A girl.
Yeah, right up your alley, Carol.
Hometown girl.
Exactly, yes.
So now you are going to be singing some of the Noels, is that?
That's correct,
yes. And he's going to be singing in French.
Ah, alors, I heard that accent was very, very good, yes.
Thank you.
Do you sing in other languages as well, Drew?
Well, at this concert, I'm going to be singing in French, English, and German with a little bit of Latin thrown in.
So will the German speakers be pleased?
I hope so.
Okay.
Hannelore Morgan is one of our concert members, and she's German, and she has not run from the room when I'm singing in German. So I think that's a good sign.
So do you speak these languages or just sing them?
Just sing them.
Okay. Okay, but you capture the accent, so it makes it.
I try.
Yeah, well, because it's hard to listen to things when they're poorly in whatever language. So you have how many people playing tonight?
Well, there'll be five of us all together. Drew will be singing and playing percussion.
Okay.
I'll be playing the Baroque flute and recorder. Hannelore Morgan will be playing recorders. And Phyllis Taylor will be playing cello, and Ray Lund will be playing harpsichord.
He's got that traveling harpsichord, doesn't he? That's
when we leave here, we're going to pick it up, actually.
Oh, I see. I was thinking, because, that's not an instrument you find people carrying around on a regular basis, so that's a real treat, because I think for Baroque music, you really want to have a harpsichord, don't you?
It's the wooden flute and the harpsichord and the cello, it's just, that's sort of the basis of the Baroque sound. It really, really comes together nicely. And the recorder, of course, which was the instrument of choice in the Baroque period, way before the silver flute was developed. The recorder was the one that most composers...
This guy.
Yes, composed for, yes, yeah. The recorder that you play with your mouth and fingers, not with the button.
Right. And it's straight out from your face, not...
Yes, it's not transverse.
Well, it's interesting because I think of a recorder as a country instrument, actually. I don't know whether it came from there, or do you have any idea? Is it the origin, or...
There have always been end-blown flutes that go way back in the early Middle Ages. And they were probably folk instruments at that point. But they evolved during the 15th and 16th centuries into quite a sophisticated instrument.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's how you say it properly. End-blown flutes. Okay.
As opposed to cross-blown.
As opposed to that thing that comes out of your mouth straight ahead. That's much better. I like that. I'm going to try to remember that for next time. Okay, and you play one of those, but you also... Is the Baroque flute, when you say Baroque flute, is...
That's the cross-blown.
That's the cross-blown. Okay.
Or transverse flute. Back then, it was simply called the flute. But nowadays, we refer to it as the Baroque flute because... To distinguish it from the modern silver flute.
So what material is it made? Is it wooden or bamboo?
They're made of wood. Mm-hmm. They usually have ivory turnings. They're very elegant instruments. And they're quite complex on the inside.
Really?
Now you think of a flute having just a bore running the entire length of it, but actually the diameter of the bore changes as you go from one end of the flute to the other. And it's not always a gradual tapering, or it actually changes within the body of the flute.
Are they made by hand usually, or no? Like the one you play?
Most of them are made by hand. I'm sure there are some people who mass produce them out of plastic.
Well, the recorders certainly are out of plastic. You mm-hmm. can not the sophisticated ones you're talking yeah. about, but I started on a,
right.
and I know all of the schools. What's the the good school that people go to? They teach the
Waldorf.
Children. Waldorf, thank you. They start the yes. all the kids on yes. recorders, but
yes.
it's a which, different.
Which makes people think that the recorder is a simple instrument
right.
to play, and
right.
it's not. It's right. easy to play badly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Mary Had a Little Lamb
yes,
kind
yes,
of thing,
yeah,
I suppose. Yeah. Well, that's why I'm interested in what you're saying, Charlie. So what are we going to hear tonight?
Well, we're doing two trio sonatas by Johann Joachim Quantz. He's one of our favorite composers. He wrote over 500 compositions, most of them involving the flute, because he was a virtuoso flute player himself, and he mm-hmm. composed for the flute, and he also wrote a treatise on the flute, on how to play it, and it's a treatise that's still used today, even for modern flutists.
Mm-hmm.
So he was quite a flute person. So we're doing two trio sonatas by him and one by Handel, a really nice trio sonata in D major. Then we're doing a French trio sonata by Jean-Marie Leclerc and five Noëls by Michel Bichard de Lalande, in which Drew will be singing and the concert will be playing all kinds of instruments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that should be fun. Mm-hmm. And then Drew is going to be singing some sort of traditional carols in a non-traditional way.
I can imagine
he'll be singing them, but the consort will be chiming in now and then with
right.
different
now
points.
Are these set arrangements, though? You guys didn't arrange these, did you? Or did you?
The ones by Leclerc, Fons, Handel, and Alain, they were their arrangements.
Right.
We're playing them as is.
Mm-hmm.
But the non-traditional Christmas carols, we've been working on their arrangements, and we've come up with some really interesting combinations.
Oh, I can't wait.
It'll be fun.
This is wonderful.
It's mostly at Drew's direction.
Okay.
He would tell us what he wants done, and then we would do it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I would try to tell them, and they would try.
Yeah, right.
The Noël's Carol, I think you'll be interested, because they're based on folk tunes, which were probably originally folk dances.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of traditional French branlins, they're called, that would be appropriate to do with some of these Noels kind of things. So I just love the combination of the folk tradition, the dance
right.
tradition, and then the Baroque music.
Absolutely.
And it's been there from the start, obviously.
Wonderful. This is all happening tonight at 6 p.m. at the Astoria Library. That's on 10th and Exchange. And it's a delightful venue, isn't it? It's
it's really beautiful.
Warm, friendly place. And you're surrounded by books. What could be better? Books and music. It feels really good. And everybody is welcome. How longish would you say this concert is?
It'll be about an hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you should get there at 6 then.
Oh, yes.
Because
yeah,
if
no,
you get there late, you're going to miss it.
6 is curtain time at the library, unlike
Kalahour. Right, yeah. Exactly.
But this will give people plenty of time to come to the library concert and then head on down to Kalahour and catch the modern. We'll do
double
from Baroque
whammy.
To modern, yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, if you are going to Cloud and Leaf in Manzanita, you will miss the consort. So South County or North County, make your choice, but do something fabulous tonight. So thank you so much. I do want to play
Carol.
Your, let's see.
This is another piece that we'll be playing tonight. This is one of the Quantz pieces, a movement from it.
There it goes. Thank you. And again, that is the Consort of All Sorts, and they are playing tonight, 6 p.m. at the Astoria Library, Baroque Holiday Music. And here's Lighting Up the World. This goes for everyone, everywhere. Let's light it up with love.
I'm gonna light up the trees, light up the birds, light up the letters, light up the words, light up the desert, light up the town, light up the evening when the sun goes.
While we're doing that, let's tell you a little bit of what else is lighting up the night. A band named Cannon Beach Gallery starts the Peter Griever exhibit, though the reception is the 3rd of January. And Lewis and Clark Park, Junius Rochester, Jefferson's Bible. He cut and pasted his favorite Bibles. Heh, now there's creativity. Folks, light up that world and light it up in a good way. Bring peace and harmony and openness. Thanks.